This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
We love America!
I like that laugh.
La, 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 la.
Jesus' name, amen.
I love too much, what can I say? But I'm reining it in.
Remember when Leonard Bernstein talked like Billy Madison for that one part of his life?
Where do you think Adam got it?
I'm reining it in.
Bernstein reference.
Oh, that was Sandler doing his tribute to the maestro.
It's old Hollywood.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm so pro maestro.
Speaking of old Hollywood, you got to see your guy on the screen on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, you know who else?
Hollywood is it? Old is it?
You know how... Okay. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're to have Good Christian Fun. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture. Sorry, I get tongue-tied when I think about him.
I know.
I just start twirling nervous. My hair and kicking my heels around. It's a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music and the movies and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church. We're just here to have fun. We don't care. We're not invested in anything or anyone or you or you. And certainly not you listening at home. Sorry, I'm a little tense after our off-mic conversation.
Kevin got some feedback on some of the paint in his house, which I understand is devastating. I still think about a comment my mom made about paint that I ended up changing. And I was like, oh, I just changed it to this color. And she's like, yeah, that's good. It's good you did that. I was like, oh, excuse me? Because the first round I thought was pretty nice. Yeah. Anyway.
Now imagine your mom times 10. That's my relationship with you.
Whoa. That is out of whack. Okay, speaking of Bruce Springsteen.
The old guy was Bruce Springsteen.
He was there.
He was there to lose for a song that I don't like that much that was nominated for a Golden Globe.
What was it for again?
It was called Addicted to Love. And it's from an Anne Hathaway and Peter Dinklage movie. Mm-hmm. No one's seen. He wrote a song for it. Addicted to...
What?
I'm sorry, not Addicted to Love. Addicted to Romance. See, I don't even know it. It's from the film She Came to Me.
She Came to Me.
But yes, it's a movie that came and went with very little fanfare. I don't know why he's
came,
involved.
I'm glad it came, because that meant Bruce came.
Yeah, he did.
As well.
I still don't know why he flew out. But how validated do I feel... When all the little Gen Z kids and all the people on Letterboxd and everywhere else are like, poor things, oh, we stand. And the man who made Poor Things, when he wins the Golden Globe, he's like, I'm sorry, I'm just such a big fan of Bruce. And he starts girling out, looking at him. He's like, we have the same birthday. And he's like, okay, man, whatever. Because truly, if you compare their work, Yorgos Lanthimos, who made Poor Things, and Bruce Springsteen, you wouldn't say, clearly, he's inspired.
No, this man that makes movies about rich people.
Yeah.
loves a scrappy American bandana guy.
Yeah, and an extraordinarily European in his bones artist. I love his movies too. But like that Bruce Springsteen would be one of his influences is cuckoo to think about. He's like, you're my hero. I love you.
Who all did Bruce get photos with that night?
Well, you know, he talked to Cooper.
Oh.
You know, he talked to Bradley. He got a photo with Matt Damon that night. I'm sure they have some sort of history. Mm-hmm. Hanks wasn't there. Him and Hanks are legitimately buds.
They go back.
Because their special connection.
Sad he didn't get a photo with Taylor.
I know.
That would have been a coup.
They haven't taken a picture together in 10 years. Since 2014.
It's a lot that you know that.
Yeah.
It's really a lot that you know that.
He went backstage at one of her shows and she gave him a guitar. This was on the 1989 tour. Uh-huh. There's a little video of this. And the picture's terrible. It's this grainy black and white selfie that they have together. And it's not particularly good of him. It's fine of her, obviously, because she's so photogenic. But then she gives him her guitar and he does a little Dancing in the Dark. And she's like, you know, doing the surprise face that she always does. But yeah, I wonder if he just wanted to hang out.
Yeah, he's like, let me check in.
74.
Some people kiss the ring.
Do you want to get out of the house to LA to just hang out?
Yeah.
Was like, I got to see Selena Gomez. See what she's up to.
Timothy and Kylie, I heard they're dating.
Marilyn Marty, that would be a huge coup. if they were in fact together.
I'm still excited about that potential.
As is the rumor. Meryl Streep and Martin Short, maybe? Maybe they're smashing.
There's a height difference. Isn't she married?
No. Oh no. I mean,
we all thought she wasn't everyone up until like a month ago. And then she's like, surprise, I've been divorced for 7 years.
Separated. Wow. Not divorced.
Separated.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
Separated.
Yeah, just in case of litigious action. I hate to correct.
She does listen to the podcast. And she's famously listened to.
Yeah. She listens to any podcast that happens in her neighborhood of Pasadena, California.
Oh, yeah. She has a house out here.
How glamorous.
Yeah. Maybe it's the only house she has. Just kidding.
Yeah. It's humble.
Speaking of film legends, we're talking about another legendary film today.
Yeah.
The Miracle Season.
Oh, boy.
Oscar winning.
Which you kind of wish Bruce would have written a song for this. Like, and then they spiked at the net and they said, live like love.
Yeah.
But we can't do it alone. Of course, we need the very special help of a very special guest making her debut on the show. Friends and folks, she's a comedian and writer. You may know her from Dropout or Crapopolis or Rick and Morty. Give it the hell up for Siobhan Thompson.
It's me. I'm here. That's right. On the pod.
She's very here.
Good job.
Way to go. That's a real one move when they sing with the song that they're introduced to.
I just got to sing praises to myself.
Yeah. Oh, I guess yourself is your own God, huh? Is that the kind of energy you're coming in with?
That is the most LA awful individualistic.
Yeah.
Hey, I just love energy. I'm just like an energy guy. I just like really love, I just like think that there's something out there, you know?
That's about half the people we've had on the show. I would say one half.
Energy lovers.
Look, listen.
I believe there's something.
I just grew up around too many energy lovers to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And good for them that can do those things. God bless them.
Absolutely.
If that's your vibe.
Energy bless them.
Energy bless them. Big guy in the sky. Mm-hmm. Have fun on that rainbow bridge of whatever it is that you're doing.
Not for everyone.
Not for everyone.
What's your relationship to energy? You don't love it? Them, him, her?
You know, as long as it has nothing to do with me, it's fine. I don't have a personal beef with energy. I find energy's followers somewhat exhausting when I start talking about it.
Here's a question for the room. Who's got the best followers? You talk to them, you're like, you're talking to me about your thing. And I'm like, okay with that. Or maybe they don't talk about their religion or their whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I like about Judaism is that they have no interest in me joining.
Yeah.
And like, I say this as somebody, I have like two step parents who are Jewish and I had a third, like my mom's previous guy was also Jewish. At no point at all in my 30 years of having Jewish relatives, has anybody gone, you know, wouldn't you be interested in Judaism? Not for one second.
Absolute discretion. Keeping it to themselves.
But I did go to Catholic school for a couple of years, and they were very into us joining.
They're not going to let you slip.
Yeah.
Is your question which religion has the best followers, or just anything?
Yeah, I guess
fandom, like Barb's versus Swifties. Are you the
Barb's can be a religious, you know, following.
Yeah. I mean, it's their 501c3 culture is also very terrifying.
Yeah, I guess not fans, more like who of various, you know, people you encounter and their religions in LA. You know, who's really like, I can work with these people. And you said Judaism, that's a good one. Mormons can be very nice.
Yeah.
But they also do want you to come over.
They really want you to come over.
I haven't had a bad experience
really
with a Mormon.
And I really love to swear. Okay, and they're not into that.
No?
Right.
The Mormons, they don't love the cursing.
Are you close with any Mormons?
I'm not close with any Mormons. Oh, God. I've met them.
I'm trying to think if I'm
There's
close
not a lot of
Mormons.
Mormons doing alt comedy.
You'd be surprised. Well, they have their own SNL. I won't say who, but there was a friend of ours that got offered a fairly lucrative deal to do their sketch comedy show that BYU runs.
Oh, yeah.
That's obviously like non-union, as in its own little enclave and compartment.
But you personally, I'm sure, would get paid a lot of money. It's one of those like...
Me?
No. The person who was offered it. It's like, well, if you're at the top of the game in a non-union situation, you're going to get paid a lot. Regardless,
especially in a wealthy church like the Mormons.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we learned from 2023 is like unions, do we need them?
I just am speechless. I'm speechless.
Jury's out on unions.
Yeah, from the strikes and stuff. It was like, okay.
Oh, God. Okay. Like, I got my steps in. Isn't that nice? But
well, because I think we all in the room are about that no drama life. You know, like, if I could make a cross stitch with a snap of my fingers, it would be
David
drama.
Zaslav is like a common guest on this podcast, right? You have David Zaslav on here all the time.
He's on Movie Heaven all the time, one of our rotating shows that we do.
Strikes are bad energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an energy I don't want to
serve. It's negative because at the end of the day, energy is all about being ruggedly individualistic.
Exactly.
And working as a union is not in that vibe.
Collectives are very, they have conflict.
It's very it's the same philosophy to me as feminism means I'm allowed to be a housewife.
Oh,
and
right.
That's my choice and
choice
and
feminism.
It's all about choice and it's all about individualism and it's not about like, hey, maybe let's rescue everybody from the patriarchy. It's all about like, what can I get out of feminism?
They call that choice feminism. I think you could call it like step one feminism.
Yes.
There are a lot more steps.
Not first wave, step one.
Step one. And then you need to get to 10. Yes.
There's 10. Okay, let's go through them. Step one.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, it's kind of your expertise if you want it. And you have a lot of trophies.
Step one, I can be a housewife.
2 through 9 is mostly hating men.
Step two, you can be a housewife. Step three, we can all be a housewife.
Gorgeous. Okay.
Step four, somebody around here's got to do the work.
Step five, I hate men. They should do it.
That's right. Siobhan, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me
on the show. For the first time, I'm realizing, Caroline, we haven't had a new guest in like 6 months.
Jeez Louise.
Whoa. Wow.
Or four or five months, excuse
Goodness.
Me. Our last.
Wow, what an honor.
Thank you for
new
keeping
to
it fresh.
The show guest, the debut guest was September of last year. This is, you know, when you're in year 7 of a podcast, when you're on episode 309, it's like, well.
You have your favorite old socks.
You're going to have some repeat customers.
Yeah, your podcast has had full cellular turnover. All of the cells that you had in your body are different from the cells that you had when you began this podcast.
That's a beautiful way to think of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you get like new skin after 7 years or something?
That's what they say. I mean, who knows if that's actually true, but
yeah.
It sounds good.
It sounds like something P. Holmes would say.
Wow.
You dare say that to me ever again.
Like Christian man, P. Holmes.
Yeah, that's actually the worst slur I could lob at you. It's like, oh, that reminds me of P.
Ultimate energy guy.
I would love to know how you alluded to it. A little bit, but I would love to know how you grew up with religion, where it was.
God, I mean, it's so different in England because, I mean, I'm not baptized, I'm not christened, but I went to Christian schools all the way through because that's what we have in England mostly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have separation of church and state. We have whatever the opposite of that is. The wait, king so is the head the of the church.
The conflation.
Are
yes.
Still part of that.
Okay. So the Church of England, the head of the church is the king.
Right.
Because Henry VIII got horny and wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. And so now we have.
And you have that beautiful legacy.
Now we have Protestantism.
It's part of that. And Prince Charles. And he also gets horny.
Yeah. They're a horny lot. And look, who can blame them?
They're keeping it going.
Who's the least horny royal?
That's really tough. They're all Anne? So horny. It might be Anne, but she does do a lot of horse riding.
That's true.
And you wonder
she
why.
She works yeah. it out. She works it out there.
Do yeah. they need to check in here?
Where'd you find that?
What is that?
I just keep it on my phone in case it comes
in case.
Up. It's a picture of a yeah. clinic that says horny clinic.
You got that far too quickly.
Yeah.
Well, it was top of mind today for a certain conversation.
I see.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess I wouldn't trust an unhorny royal.
Why?
So I'm wrong about that.
I don't think you need to trust any royals. I think that's it's okay great, to not trust
that's
them.
A better sense.
And happy 10-year anniversary to the song Royals by Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yes.
came out 10 years ago this year.
So your church is like default Christian.
Yeah.
Or sorry, your school is
my
default
school,
Christian. Sorry.
So the most of the schools that I went to were Church of England, and then I went to Catholic school for 2 years.
Yeah.
Which the Catholic school really soft salt. Church of England is so boring, very on purpose because it is a national religion. And so it's so beautifully insipid and very accepting and very like one of the first places to be like, hey, sure, there can be women priests. Sure, there can be the gay vicars. That's mm-hmm, great.
Mm-hmm. Dexter, are you good? Sorry.
Just licking your 9/11 blanket.
It's not a 9/11.
Okay, I do have a question about what you mean by 9/11 blanket.
It does say never forget on it because my mom made it.
The Twin
for
Towers
me.
Are on here, no?
The Twin Towers are somewhere on there, yeah. I do believe. But so it's a bunch of Washington monuments. But yeah, hey, Dex.
Can we talk? Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about your house, I have some things and thoughts about this blanket.
It's got to go?
I think might be time. Might be time.
But my mommy gave his it mom, to me. We're interrupting Siobhan's it. Time. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I'm so sorry. All right.
Yes, I don't know. I hymns every morning.
Wow.
And we would have the vicar come in. The Catholic school that I went to, there was a priest that was the priest of the Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and again, we would at the Church of England school that I went to, they would have Christian sketch comedians come in to do an assembly.
Wow.
And that was a real highlight.
But British, obviously, Christian yes. sketch comedians?
Yes.
So what is the UK equivalent of a Mark Lowry, Caroline? Who would that even be? I'm so unfamiliar with the terrain.
Well, I don't know who they were, but they came at least like every 6 weeks or so, mm-hmm. like a couple of times a term, they would
often.
Come and do sketches in assembly. And they were pretty good.
Okay.
At least they were much more interesting than the normal school assemblies, which would be sing a hymn. Maybe some teacher would read a passage from some part of the Bible that I don't remember because it's just very droney. and then school announcements, we get told off for something that we were doing, normally uniform related. And then you'd have to go to school. But these guys would come in and it's like, oh, there's a guy in a gorilla suit. What's he going to do?
Oh, my
God. Oh, he's going to make you believe in God. Ah!
And those performers would change the course of your life.
Yes.
Yeah, they forever. Showed you.
Set you on a path.
Did you want yes. to be a Christian sketch comedian?
I remember there was one moment. I don't remember most of the sketches except for there was a guy in a gorilla suit for one of them. But there was one that was all about them doing science. And then the final experiment was one of the women standing in a pool with a lightning rod yelling, God does not exist.
Oh.
Oh.
And then she doesn't get struck by lightning. And the lesson is don't test God.
True.
I mean, we agree with that.
We do agree with that.
Yeah.
That's in line. Were they ever concerned about in these chapels or in your schooling at ever as a whole about you getting like saved or like, could I don't know, affirming your belief in Jesus in some way?
The Church of England school, not really. It was religious, but very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And we did religious studies as a school subject and we learned about all the religions.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and again, we would have some moment where the headmistress, who I think was quite religious, would be like, the Gideons are here. Everybody's getting a New Testament Bible. And then the two Jewish girls in my class would be like, why?
I don't. No, this thank you.
Mm-hmm. I need the other one. You have the other one.
Well, just rip out the rest.
Right. But the Catholic school was much more religious. We had to do theology and not religious studies. I remember asking when I got there, like, do you study any other religions? And they were like, oh, yeah, we do Protestantism in the first year.
My gosh.
And I was like, whoa. Okay, that's kind of the same religion. Okay, sure. They definitely tried to make us confess once. And
how does that happen? How did they try to make you confess?
Well, only about 40% of the school was Catholic, but we would still have high mass on saints' days and stuff, and then like a religious assembly every morning. And this was some sort of confessional blessing for a saint whose name I don't remember, where they were like, and anybody can confess if they want to. You don't have to be Catholic. And we were all like, but we don't.
True.
But we don't need to, though, right? I don't need to tell this strange man any of my secrets. And they were like, well, no, but wouldn't it be nice to get it off your chest? And most people just felt good. So like guilted into it that they got up and said some stupid, I was mean to my sister. I don't know.
Right.
I didn't do my homework on time. And then there were just like 10 of us that just sat in the pews like, you can't make me do this. I don't want to tell this man anything. No, thank you.
You took a stand.
Yeah.
I have no slate to clean. I'm not going to the pearly gates.
I definitely had a lot of slate to clean, but not by this guy. He also, like, I had a friend who was Catholic and went to confession with him and was having some real mental health issues and told the priest. And then he told her head of house, which we were all like, aren't the priests not supposed to do that? Isn't that the whole point of confession?
Hey.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Is that you're not supposed, the priest is supposed to take that to his grave?
Doctor-patient confidentiality.
Exactly.
Yeah, what are the, I don't know, and they might be different too in England, but there are rules about like.
I don't think they are because we were scandalized by this.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because I know like teachers and therapists, like, you know, they have confidentiality protection, except for like in podcasts and certain things, they are like legally required to report. Like if one of his students confessing was like, I'm thinking about,
yes,
you know, this. Then maybe he would be required, but I don't know. It does feel like it crosses a line.
It really does. It was very strange.
Unclear.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I like the singing. The singing is always very fun.
Do you remember any of the hymns that you used to sing?
Oh my God. To be a pilgrim, banger.
To be a pilgrim.
It's, I mean, all of the hymns that we sung were very Victorian. Like the hymn book has just not changed. But To Be a Pilgrim, written by John Bunyan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You going to play it? You got it? You got it up?
Do I have it?
He who would valiant be.
Yes, here we go. Oh, yeah. This is quite old sounding.
But imagine this with an organ played by a 14-year-old.
I feel like a busty lady should be giving me a drumstick at the Ren Fair right now.
It's so fun.
Sorry, I said busty, guys. I didn't mean to.
That's okay. Busty is good.
Oh, this is the Maddie Pryor version.
Oh, she knows the different versions.
It's a spirited rendition.
Yeah, we can do the karaoke if you want.
I like it. It also does just sound kind of like a folk song.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
very good.
And she's a folk singer, Maddie Pryor. She's great.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Wow. Okay. So to be
this
a
is the wait. You got to play the best part of it. This bit. To be a pilgrim.
A pilgrim.
Beautiful. Wow, we never sang this.
Are you telling me this didn't make you want to get saved?
Should we play Pharaoh, Pharaoh, Caroline? To create a tension.
He was always my tension with it is like, but saved by who? For what?
By God from hell.
By my math teacher?
Yeah, a messenger of God. What part of this are you not getting?
Yeah. We did have a very enthusiastic theology teacher, God bless her, who was like right out of college and got so excited about the nerdiest Bible stuff. And we were studying the book of Mark.
Mm-hmm. Classic. It's a classic. It's the first gospel.
One of the big ones. Not the first in the list, but the first written.
Sure.
It's the shortest.
You remember a lot.
And people say that, like, they say, like, don't worry, the movie's under 2 hours. Like, Mark is the shortest
gospel.
You'll fly by.
Matthew's the first one, but Mark is the real first one. Why are they in that order? Nobody knows. It's a miracle.
Council of Nicaea was on one that day.
But she got very, very excited about Son of Man versus Son of God, because in the book of Mark, he only refers to himself as the Son of Man. He never refers to himself as the Son of God.
Like
and then in the later Gospels,
it's all Son of God.
It's all Son of God. Huh. And then all, like, a bunch of stuff. He never says that he's the Son of God, but he does say that I am, which in some way is linked to Yahweh. And she got very dorky about this.
Yahweh
means I am. And he says I am. And so therefore he is saying that he is God. It very convoluted.
Yes.
It means to be, excuse me.
Great.
I am to be, whatever.
This woman was on one. She really.
But she made a mark. She really was very excited. Retaining after many years.
Oh, yeah. And it's very funny sitting in that Catholic school, very like a posh Catholic school. Sitting there learning about how poverty is good and how we should all respect the poor, and then going and being like sitting among the snobbiest people you've ever met in your life, who are like, I remember being in sports and somebody being like, does anybody have a plastic bag for my hockey shoes? And me going, I have a Sainsbury's bag, which is like a Vons bag. And her going, oh no. Like, you're putting your muddy hockey shoes into a plastic bag that are then going into your sports bag.
You just have standards.
Yes. And I'm like, great. Get your sports things messy then. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. But then was she nicer to you? Because then she realized, oh, this is one of those poor. Yeah.
No.
I need to be kind to.
Absolutely not. I was going to inherit the earth, but after you die.
After they're done with it.
Right. After my turn, you'll inherit the earth.
Yes,
when I'm done with it.
When you're dead, you'll get the earth. But for right now, it's real like big sister energy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I did not love that. And then I read the Bible, most of it at university because I was studying archaeology.
Why did you study archaeology?
It's cool. This is like really cool.
Did you want to be a full-time?
I did. I mean, I really wanted to be doing what I'm doing now, which is being a Hollywood dirtbag. But
excavating laughs from people's
exactly.
souls.
Exactly. Nobody believed that was a real thing that anybody could do. And so I got a fallback degree in archaeology, useful, which in England is more useful. It's a degree that you can actually use because there's stuff to dig up.
True.
Unfortunately, what I did not know is that you don't get paid very much money to do that.
Damn
and you're
it.
Also like
fuck
in the mud in February and it's so cold and sad and you're getting paid so little and you're on a building site and you're covered in mud and it just was not the glamorous existence.
So it might actually be comparable to comedy and the 2020s.
Yes. I truly, like, having gone through the trenches of comedy, I'm like, but at least this is inside.
There's AC. There's heat.
Yeah. I'm not, like, I don't have calluses all over my hands that have dirt underneath them. Mm-hmm. So my hands will never look fully clean because there's dirt just ingrained into my skin.
That's right. And you'll never get faked out by what you think is a fossil, but turns out to be a small children's toy.
Yes.
It's pretty deep in the ground.
There is a lot of like, is this
I imagine that's a problem.
What the hell?
I did spend a lot of time
mom brain.
I did a dig in like a Stone Age site and we're just going, is this a stone or is this a stone?
Is this a stone?
Is this one of the stones that they used or is this just a stone?
Wait, can I ask you an archaeology question that I've been thinking about a lot lately? Is archaeology is so great because we have all these layers of history and you can really learn a lot, you know, about, you know, the fauna that was back then, the flora, the animals, whatever. Our current layer of the earth that we're burying right now is filled with trash.
Yes.
And we won't be able to learn very much about that maybe. Or well, will we? What's your opinion on that?
A lot from it because
the question is, or will
there's
we?
There's so much crap that
more crap than ever in history, I guess.
Like, you're looking for the crap when you're an archaeologist. Like, if you're looking for tiny snails, that's probably because you're in like such an old site that you're like, well, there's one rock that looks like it's significant, so maybe humans were here. So let's look at the pollen
and you might find a broken plate.
Whereas when you're digging through, say, Victorian layers, so like 100 years ago, there was still so much crap that like you can go in and say very specifically, oh, this is the end of a clay pipe that was made by this one man who lived in this town. Wow. And this stamp is from these 3 years. So therefore, there was somebody from that town who came here and he probably came here within this like 5 year period.
Wow.
Because those pipes don't last for very long.
Yeah. Huh.
So in terms of archaeology, the more crap, the better.
That's true. Yeah, I guess so. This is going to be a lot. They're going to have a lot to work.
They're going to have a lot. And also, weirdly, archaeologists from today have started keeping records of today's crap for future archaeologists.
Yeah, I was going to wonder if so in like 1,000 years they find a La Croix.
They can say, okay, well, this is a passion fruit and they only had these for 3 years.
and we know this was less hated than the coconut.
Yes.
At the time.
This is a high-end LaCroix, which means that there was maybe a high-status person who lived in this apartment.
Do you think plastic will change like how we can date certain times in history at all?
I don't know. I mean, I think it will in terms of the post-bakelite plastic is very shelf-stable, and so people will be able to tell, like, the plastic won't go away, so you'll be able to go, oh, this is a rubber ducky, this is, you know, they only made these rubber duckies with mustaches and sunglasses in 2008.
Sick.
So like, we know that this for is
Obama's campaign.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Obama loves rubber duckies.
Oh, you're the one.
Yeah.
You make bathtubs. Lots of fun.
During that era. Okay, cool. Wow.
His top 10 rubber duckies of the year list just dropped.
Yeah. Oh my God. The pink one is really, Bobby is having a moment.
Climb the charts.
Influencing everywhere.
So then
thank you for answering that.
You're welcome.
Really fascinating. Thinking about that a lot lately. Okay.
For the last 4 minutes, I felt like the dumbest man alive listening to you guys talk. My mouth was agape at your probably rudimentary questions about.
Yeah, you should feel dumb because that was a pretty rudimentary question.
Kevin, we were scratching the surface, if I may.
Gracious.
Cool.
So what's it now? Like, what became a sort of worldview for you for religion post-university, post-schooling, post-Christian school?
I had what I would describe as a religious experience where I became certain of the fact that I do not believe in God, which I now think was maybe a seizure. I think it's very possible that it was a, God, what's it called? There's a type of seizure that is called the God seizure, which you don't have any physical symptoms.
The God seizure is a Kurt Cameron film from 2009.
Fascinating. He's been having a God seizure for many years.
And I think that my mom has had two of them. And what I found out about this because I was reading the Oliver Sacks book, Hallucinations.
Sure.
And then I started reading this thing on hallucinations through seizures and reading this thing that was so indicative of the experience that I had had.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was just walking home from school and I was so stressed about my belief constantly was like this underlying stress of mine, mm-hmm. because I had been to these religious schools. My mom studies religion. My mom is a professor of, she studies cults.
She's having a boom time.
She's having
right
a
now.
Real boom time.
Good grief.
Yeah.
And so like religion was always like a big part of my life. And I was walking home from the train station in my tiny little village. And I had a moment of like, boom, you don't believe in God. You know this, but the colors changed around me. What? I had like, exactly. I had like, have such a vivid memory of it. And like seeing all of the individual colors and all the leaves around me and having this full like Saul on the road to Damascus moment of, oh, I don't believe in God. I don't have to worry about this anymore.
Wow.
And it was like a weight had been lifted off of me.
How old were you?
18.
Okay.
How long did it last? Was it, did it feel instantaneous?
It was instantaneous, but in like a flickery, glittery, like boom, the spell has happened.
Wow.
Kind of way. It was amazing. And then it just, this was just a thing that had happened to me. And then 15 years later, I read this Oliver Sacks book and read this. And the thing that freaks me out about it a little bit is that with these kinds of seizures, which I've, again, only had one of, there are people who have become atheists, become very certain atheists because of these seizures, and then had another seizure and have had an absolute belief in God.
It shakes it out of them.
And it shakes it out of them. And they just, every couple of years, just back and forth.
Light switch. Bing, bong, light boom. Light switch. Oh my God. That's so wild.
It's
you know,
wild.
I just talked to someone very recently who would have seizures, and she didn't know they were seizures for a long time.
Wow.
And I told this story, so I'll run through it quickly. But the seizure, when it came upon her, would either be, I need to end my life, like right now. Like,
wow.
I'm going to go find a building to jump off of. Or it would be like a total divine communication with God, who insane. Was who she was an atheist. And she was like, uh-huh. I just suddenly was like, I am talking with the Lord right now.
Wild.
Which you can think of how many stories we've heard of saints
or
Christians
many.
Who have incredible
yes.
moments with God. And I'm not saying all of those are seizures, but it is an interesting
but the some New
of
Testament is just like just apostles really season out left and yes. right.
No, and if you go back in the archaeology, you see
yeah.
seizures were kind of in the air.
Yeah, Joan of Arc, they think it had this kind
yes,
of seizure.
I think
but
a lot of people,
she was having them like 10 times a day.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she was like, I'm having full-on conversations with God. He keeps calling me yes. and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, religious ecstatic you know, feelings are very
yes.
common side effect of like some mental issues you can have. So. Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
moly.
Yeah.
That's so scary. The idea that the fragility of a human mind that you
yeah.
could just shake it like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yes.
yeah.
And fill it or empty it of any particular ideology.
I remember what
bananas.
It is. It's a temporal lobe seizure.
Temporal lobe.
Temporal lobe seizure.
Okay.
So does that, now that you know that as well, yeah. does it shake your belief in your atheism though?
Well,
yeah, get her ass, Caroline.
No, I mean, in the same way it would shake your belief if you had been like, I believe in God.
It did, but also I just don't have time to worry about it anymore.
You're like, I'm actually kind of good with that
result. I'm kind of good with it.
We got time. Let's check. Let's have a conversation.
Because I think my problem always was with the religion and not with the God stuff. I was always very frustrated by how just the attitude to money was not what I was reading in these books.
Mm-hmm.
The attitude to poor people was not what I was reading in these books. The and then having read the Bible at university, having already decided or had decided by my weird brain that I did not believe in God. Like, you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, like these early books in the Bible, and realize when you've been through religious institutions, like, oh, they really, really picked out these stories to tell us. And they skipped over some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Like Abraham, I remember like running into my room, like as I was reading this, just constantly running into my roommate's room and going, do you know this? Have you read this? Like Abraham his whole shtick before he created this relationship with God had this, had God came to him and said, you're my chosen person. He was going around the Middle East with his wife, and his wife would get married to the kings of, she got married to the king of Canaan and then to another thing under the premises of Abraham saying, this isn't my wife, this is my sister and you should marry her. Then the crops would fail. This is the scam. The crops would fail, and then Abraham would go, it's because you married my wife and God is angry at you. And it's because I lied and we both lied, said she was my sister. Actually, she's my wife. If you pay us to leave, we'll leave. And then they did this twice. And then at a certain point, they're like, why do you keep saying this? And he's like, well, I'm technically not lying because she is my half sister and my wife. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I remember reading this and being like, this is
the Abraham.
This is the first story. This is the second story in the Bible.
Good Lord.
The third. I mean, you're like, you go,
I'm learning.
Adam
this.
And Eve. You go Cain and Abel, which Caroline, they teach you because they're like, don't kill your brother. And then they're like, okay, then we'll skip that part of the Abraham story. And then we'll go straight to Abraham and Isaac.
Yes. Yes. And I went to Christian school, like from third grade all the way through. We are talking about the Bible so
constantly,
much.
But you learn the same three stories.
Yes. And then literally like moments like now, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We did not talk about
not
that.
Not at all. And then you're like, okay, the Noah story is great. Then he's getting drunk in a tent and he's mad at his son for putting a blanket over him.
Now that I remember. What? I do remember
Noah being major drunk.
Getting on land, immediately getting wasted.
I think I can play Russell Crowe with him because of that. In that film. It's like, yeah, like Russell Crowe.
Speaking of Russell Crowe. Yeah. So many of those stories.
Yes. Which, like, if church was more discursive, I think that it would be more interesting to me, but it's so patriarchal and so
self-protective.
Yes. And also as a woman, it's like, I just am not interested in the life that they want me to lead.
No choice feminism.
No choice feminism.
Well, the
feminism
step
is 11. Me telling you what to do. And that's your choice of me telling you.
And that's the best thing you could have as a lady.
But what if the priest at the church you went to was a woman?
What?
It's like that tweet. One of my favorite tweets within my friend group is, more female prison guards.
But again, similar. The songs are really fun. I do love to sing. Yeah. I was in the choir. I loved singing in my little desk hand.
Like, guess what? You can sing anywhere.
You can sing anywhere. But it's fun to sing with other people.
I agree. But I think, you can do your religious little choir gatherings and stuff. They have things in the community for that. Sure. Or you can dip in and dip out like I did of different church choirs.
And then when they start asking you, why are you only in the choir and you're not coming to any services?
It's like that.
You go, goodbye.
It's Act One of Fight Club where he keeps going to support groups. But it's me going to every religion's choir. That's Kevin was at the Mormon Tabernacle. He's singing in that Scientology recruitment video.
Wait a minute. Is it Kanye's school?
Scientology video.
I'm the Zelig of church choirs. I
love to sing.
Wow.
Fabulous.
I want a God seizure. Or a dog seizure.
I recommend it. I don't know. I feel like...
The clarity would be comforting.
It was truly incredibly comforting. It really lightened a load.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear in religion. And there's a lot of... expected certainty about a thing that is inherently uncertain. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're a kid, like it's very, it's very, if you don't believe in God, you're going to go to hell. And as an annoying little kid who asked too many questions, that was simply not the vibe for me.
You hell are a great is not candidate. The vibe.
Hell is not the vibe. Well, hell, fine, sure, okay. Like, if I masturbate too much, I'm going to go to hell.
Because
that seems like an apt and just punishment for me.
But like we said, Satan's a great kisser. Was that off mic?
I think it was. Satan's a great kisser because he has a forked tongue.
Yeah. You do stuff.
But, yeah, I don't know. I found it nobody would answer any of my questions. And it was just a lot of, well, you know, God says, so therefore.
Just go ahead and believe.
Yeah, just didn't really work for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And now we don't have a
C in theology. And
because we'll answer your
that's
questions.
That's the root of this issue.
Yes. Yeah. If they'd given me a better grade, then yeah, maybe I would go
I
to the stupid
church. I would
have been
jumping for you, Jesus.
Oh, man. Well, Siobhan, thanks for sharing all that.
Yes.
Being vulnerable. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic.
That's it.
Which means nothing. I mean, I was going to ask, like, if you have any familiarity beyond your world of hymns and the flavor that you grew up with, of any Christian popular culture,
not
anything of the
at
sort.
All. We just kind of don't do that in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Christian popular culture. In the, I mean, we have things like the Vicar of Dibley.
The who of what?
The Vicar of Dibley.
What does he do?
Excuse me.
Oh no.
Played by Dawn French. It's
that's
a sitcom.
Step seven of.
Oh, Dawn French.
It's a sitcom about a vicar, and she plays the vicar.
It's fantastic. It's great. Oh. That was such a British sounding sense.
Yes.
Yep. A female vicar following the 1993 changes in the Church of England, permitted ordination of women. Okay. It's a sitcom.
It's a sitcom. It's fun. It's okay. Very gentle. It's very sweet. She's a vicar, but she's also single. Ack!
It's kind of the Kathy.
It's a Kathy. It's if Kathy was a vicar.
So vicars could get married if they wanted to?
Oh, yeah. Church of England is Protestant.
Oh, okay. Of course.
They can get gay married now.
Hell yeah.
And divorced.
Yeah.
They can get gay divorced. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you've not had any experience with
the
genre.
Except for English people making fun of it because it's so absolutely wild, the American pop church stuff. Mm-hmm. In England, church is supposed to be boring. And I think that there are now some mega churches, but
there are.
Probably mostly in London, which is not.
There was like a famous, Kevin, who was the British CCM artist that we were talking about who was like huge?
I need more. I don't know. I'm so sorry.
I'm being surprised. Or maybe it was a band. Anyway.
Well, like Delirious. I mean, there's a bunch of Australian people. Delirious is... Delirious.
Delirious
is British,
yeah.
Actually. Hillsong's Australia.
Wow, they're right there.
Boys is Australia.
They're coming out of there.
Yeah. All of the Hillsong stuff coming from Australia is so strange to me. Because
always a surprise. It feels very American.
It feels very American.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
They perfected the premise.
It's also the same
there
thing.
They're in Oz.
So if you've never watched a faith-based film.
I never have. Before, this is my first.
Yeah. And it's quite a weird one, actually.
It did feel pretty light on the
particularly
faith.
Faithy.
No.
We could have gone a lot harder on that.
Yeah, we sure could
have. This was kind of a great Anglican faith movie.
Of just like one guy going to church at some point and going, I'm pretty angry that my wife and daughter both died. Yeah, no, you should be. That's
like,
fair.
That makes sense.
Which is, so we watched The Miracle Season, directed by Sean McNamara, starring Academy Award winners William Hurt and Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
Both have Oscars.
Just truly.
The late William Hurt.
Which, were they going to get together at the end? They really heavily implied throughout this movie that they were going to get together. Yes. And I was like, William Hurt, your wife just died.
I was confused because I thought he was asking her out as his wife was dying.
Yes.
Remember, he was like, hey, we've got the party. We'd love to see you there. And if you want to come. I was like, why are you hitting on her? And then we cut to the hospital room.
Yes.
Sir.
Man.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on. I did not know this was based on a true story.
Based on a true story.
I could tell.
You could tell because, hey, this girl at the beginning of the... So, to spoil fully the movie that we already have spoiled.
Should we watch the trailer just for a second?
Let's watch the trailer.
Yeah. To see how they market the film themselves. For The Miracle Season.
The returning state champions.
You got this.
How many teams have earned two championships back-to-back? Almost none.
Great scene.
Carolyn,
great scene.
The captain. These girls are looking at you to lead this team.
I got you.
This is our year, Cal.
It's not funny. Come on.
It was really funny. That moment was really funny.
It's real, guys.
When she goes to the
I'd
road.
Like to
she just got him.
In honor of Caroline Found.
I'm sorry.
Star player West Volleyball suffered another defeat.
How's the team looking?
They ate last year.
We're not champions anymore.
Win or lose, Caroline would be so proud.
We gotta find us a new...
All of these 40-year-old high schoolers.
Talk to them. Lead.
Why me? You're her best friend. Girls are looking at you.
I'm taking her spot.
And you're making it your own?
The last thing that Ryan said to me was that this was going to be our year. Even if we could win one game, shouldn't we try?
Our year.
This is volleyball. I need to know if you're serious.
You
think this is pressure? How are you going to win if you can't even handle practice? We are this close to doing something no one thought we could do.
Playing used to be fun.
I try not to think about it.
If we run the board, we got a shot at state.
You mean to win?
Okay,
Caroline,
we basically get
how many
it.
Is the board?
So, trailer feels very long.
Do you think that this is Christian in that this is part of the Christian right's attempt to show that they do actually care about girls' sports?
So funny. That's a great angle to it.
That's sweet. You think that they would even make a movie to help with that point. I think just saying they support girls' sports is all they
it's
have to do.
It's just all they have to do.
That's sort of the baseline.
I love women swimming. I love it.
Where women swim.
We
women
love
who are women.
Swimming so much. Yeah. Someone who isn't a woman being in women swimming is the worst thing that could ever happen to me.
So it's based on a true story of events that happened in 2011, which
yes.
is a young girl named Caroline.
Caroline Found.
I was like, is her name Caroline Line? That doesn't make sense.
Caroline Line Found.
I'm really doing right by her in her memory.
Here's the funniest part of the movie.
Yeah.
Is this girl died, which is very sad, but she died leaving a party, driving a stolen moped, wearing no helmet.
Yes.
Which is how you die. Like
the no helmet
stuff. The no helmet after a party, which, you know, we see the party at the movie. In the movie, there's no drinking at this high school party.
And I believe in real life, it was not a party that she was leaving. I believe it was church. Like, I watched a documentary because they did like a...
Oh, they did a docu thing at the end.
Well, they did a like a on sports Brian Gumbel.
So she was
HBO
leaving
thing.
Church with a stolen moped?
Wow. Yeah,
with no helmet. But she was going to the hospital to see her mother
who was dying.
Who had cancer. I mean, the events of this, it takes place in Iowa City, in Iowa. And she
literally
passes away.
In the cornfield. They're having a party in a red barn.
Just a little corn party.
Corn party.
She passes away. This young high school student tragically passes away. Her mom then tragically passes away a week or so later.
Yes.
Which just feels punishing.
Yes.
Obviously.
Absolutely brutal.
That this would occur. And then she was a crucial part of the volleyball team. And then the volleyball team goes on to great victory and success in the finals, and kind of follows the sports, inspirational sports movie beats.
Which is very challenging because we learn from the movie to be a setter, which is the position that she plays. You have to groom somebody for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is a line from the movie. You got to groom somebody for 3 to 5 years to be a setter. I love grooming.
We accelerated the grooming in the Miracle season.
So, yeah, and then they go on to win in her memory.
Yes.
I relate a lot to this movie for
Carol,
several reasons.
Carol, I want you to speak to this.
Because you're a jock.
You're a jock. One, I'm a jock. Two, my name is Caroline.
Wow.
You can be a jock at step nine of feminism.
2A, I have never heard Caroline be shortened to line as a nickname. Terrible.
It's rough.
Tragic. That was the main tragedy of her life. Okay. 3, I was a volleyball player.
Oh my goodness.
Competitively. Years.
She was good.
Yeah.
Wow. She had the juice.
I was okay.
Out there. Eh. You were okay?
I had pulpy juice.
I guess I would know. Oh my God.
No one's favorite, but you know, got the job done. Yep. I was I played club volleyball, which is where you like pay to play. And I was in my high school's team at my school. And we did actually go to win a championship.
Oh wow.
In our league, you know, which is other Christian schools. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, it was small time, but big time for me.
But on each of those teams, there was someone who had tragically passed away.
Yeah. And you would not believe what a good motivator that is.
Yeah. You're crying in the library, but you're going to do it for her.
That's how you qualify.
Exactly.
Yes.
I also have the world's saddest dad, you know, so in many ways, relate to this
a real
movie.
Ernie type.
Eeyore type. The dad cracked me up because like he was already so sad.
Yes.
And then I was like, they're gonna double whammy this man. Could he get any worse?
Ernie
found.
He was low.
That man who was a surgeon but also seemed to work at the school. I was very confused by him.
Yeah.
Didn't have free
also
time.
Loved that they never named the boyfriend.
Yeah, did he?
Not
have
one
a
time
name?
The boyfriend.
Did they give him a name?
No. He got in that movie.
Just writing 101, guys.
I guess the
like,
real
name
girl.
Your characters. Just have them say the name out loud,
name.
Loud one time.
It would help people feel like he's a person.
It failed the reverse back
it did.
Test
not a human haircut.
It.
It gives her one kiss.
And it's an accident. They fall into each other and suddenly they're kissing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they were like, we got to do something for the girls.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I have to say the volleyball playing in this movie was really good.
How did it look? Was it authentic?
It was some of the realest I've ever seen.
Wow.
Since Top Gun. I think they were real volleyball players, like based on what I was watching.
That's interesting.
Except for Erin Moriarty, who is so bad.
Yes.
Erin Moriarty.
She was remarkably bad.
She was
flinched every time
bad.
The ball touched her.
Yes, and a terrible form. I think she took half a lesson. I don't think she even stayed the whole time. She went to go get juice. And then she's also very short.
Yes.
And I think they have her playing a middle blocker before she becomes a setter on the team. Middle blocker, famously, the tallest girl on the team is the one who plays middle blocker.
Okay.
And usually they're not good setters either. So. Okay. No offense.
No wonder that she
there.
Wasn't going to make the team.
So, she goes from like bench warmer to middle blocker somehow, and then to like captain setter of the team. Being a setter is a very hard position. It's like quarterback.
Okay.
For the team, anyway. So that's my volleyball 2 cents.
I'm surprised that looked because I had no way of no. judging whether yeah. it was like, yeah, this is the real deal.
I was
yeah.
surprised too. Because honestly, a lot of volleyball movies is like really atrocious.
How many volleyball movies have you watched?
I don't know. That's a good question. Well, usually they're not volleyball centered.
Yeah.
Okay. The volleyball just happen to played. Have volleyball in them.
There's yeah. just a little thing in it.
Yeah.
So Sean McNamara, who directed this, also mm-hmm. directed one of the other movies that we were talking about, maybe doing Blue Crush.
Yes.
Which has way more explicitly, intensely Christian themes and theology in it, the main character of that, like there's
yes.
talking Bible, talking
which
scripture.
Helen Hunt is also in. And then yes. I Googled Helen Hunt Christian. And then the second Google result was, is Helen Hunt a Jewish?
Is she a Jewish?
Is she a Jewish?
And?
Yes.
Yeah,
she's
is she Jewish?
She's a Jewish Methodist, is what this Google result was saying.
A little bit of both.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Her real life daughter has a role in the movie.
Oh, wow.
As yeah. a high schooler named Ruby, whichever one that was.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting which one Ruby was. Oh, yeah, the redhead one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she, the one that was supposed to be the boyfriend's sister.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That
oh, yeah.
Felt like she was the same age as the other girls, but she was supposed to be playing younger, so it looked like they just made her look shorter.
Yeah, she got on her knees.
Down.
It truly that's style. What it felt like. Is she was like, she put the shoes on the front of her knees to make her look like a smaller person than she is.
But this little girl.
Movies like this, I felt this way. I'm not going to spoil Iron Claw, but Iron Claw is quite sad and quite tragic as well. And also in the middle of that movie, I didn't know that it was a true story at all, that it was based on a real life event and a real family.
And you thought they were being a little heavy-handed.
I thought, wow, this is a really punishing story. When it's that laden with what feels like unearned chaos and tragedy.
Yeah.
And same thing in this of like, geez, Louise, is it necessary to kill off the mom and the daughter within the same? And there's things from real life and they do the thing that we all love whenever something's based on a true story. They show you. The real footage.
The pictures at the end.
The people at the end.
Over the credits.
Look how much it looks like that.
That's that guy.
She really did walk at the memorial service.
They made that one woman way hotter in the movie.
Way hotter, but same bad jacket.
Well, and the thing that stuck out to me immediately when watching this movie, where I was like, why does this look? Because this is not. This is not a spectacularly well-made movie, but it's not an incompetent. It's not an incompetently made movie. It's not like, yeesh, they just got a camcorder off the thing. And they shot in Iowa, I think, for a lot of it.
Yeah.
But there's one production design element that I could not believe how strange it looked. And you see it just in glance and in passing at first, which is when Caroline passes away, they leave a photo of her at the memorial or the tree around where it is. And it's a picture of her playing volleyball and her mom highlighted behind her.
Yes.
And it looks truly...
It looks like I made it with the bluntest scissors.
Yes.
That are on the planet. And then they cut to that at the real photo of that at the end. I was like, oh, that's a sweet photo.
Yeah. And it was like, it was capturing what that real life photo that the father, Ernie, found would bring to the matches and whatnot. But I couldn't believe that. The thrust of this movie.
The quality of Photoshops in movies has not improved since like 2003.
No.
And
if anything, it's gotten much worse.
Yes. And people have assistants. Like, what's happening? Like, there are Gen Z people on set.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's so many photo retouchers. They're really good.
Yes.
They probably don't cost very much. They should be paid more.
The director's 13-year-old daughter could probably do a better job on her
Snapchat face swapping.
There was a historically bad one in Left Behind, which we watched 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Of Nicolas Cage and Leah Thompson and their family were
like different colors.
Whew.
The lights just coming in from different angles.
Yeah, different lights.
Somebody's
so
forehead
abstract.
Is weirdly huge because they cut them off the side of a different photo.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of like explicit Christian theology. It's not like you gotta do this for Christ. We need to win.
No.
Because Christ wants us to blah blah blah.
And there wasn't even like a miracle from God.
No.
No, it just was hard work.
Them coming together.
And then realizing that the 15 teams they had to beat kind of sucked. And
Now the only thing, like you said before, that there was, that was actually Christian in the movie, that old Ernie, there's a little beat where one of his colleagues at work calls him up on the phone. He's like, hey, would love to go to church with you, man. He's like, well, God hasn't been here for me. Because, I don't know, because his wife and daughter passed away. Yes. And then they have a little beat later in the movie where they do go to church. And he uses some really interesting language to describe kind of how he's processing his grief. Is like, well, God wanted her back. You know, like he couldn't.
He was like, she's a keeper. So I understand why God wanted her back or something.
So that is.
I guess it's sweet.
Obviously, this is based on real life events. There, I did find a CBN interview with the real Ernie Found.
Oh, wow.
And the real coach, Maz, they call her Maz?
Baz?
Baz. Baz Luhrmann. Wait, do they call her Brez?
Brez.
Not Baz. So for the promo when this came out 5 or 6 years ago, they were the two real life people who would like.
They rolled
like,
them out.
We like put this. Them on Ellen. This is good. Yeah, pretty much. They rolled them out. So for this,
my daughter died, and now there's a movie about it.
For this
there's
Christian
also a book, if you want to buy it.
They gave the following quote for this Christian outlet for CBN.
Ernie, you lose your daughter.
Oops, I have it on 1.75 speed, which makes it sound real flippant.
You lose your daughter. And you lose your wife within weeks. At one point, we hear your character in the film say, God hasn't exactly shown up for me. And then at another point, we hear you say, I think it's time for me to express some long overdue thanks. What happens in the transfer?
Yeah, quite honestly, God hasn't shown up for me. That was Hollywood. Mm-hmm. That was a script. That was never something that entered my mind because I felt his presence in a variety of ways.
Can I interject quick, too? Because the night of his wife's visitation,
Brez.
You know, and he said, I'm so sorry, Ernie. And he just grabbed me and he said, Brez, my life has been blessed. So he felt God was there the whole way. He never wavered from that.
Okay.
So
you were hanging out the night the wife died?
Interesting.
I think it was at the
moment. No, suspicious.
But they certainly are talking as if God is off camera.
As I was putting my bra back on, he said, God is so good. And I heard him say that. I'm sorry. Sorry to this man.
But they do. It's like God's going to watch the interview and he's going to be like, what the hell, bro?
He was very defensive.
Is that funny?
Yes.
Where it's like
interrupted him.
Because anybody would give a pass to, you experienced the worst thing a person could experience in life. I would understand having your face shaken a
moment.
Little bit.
I mean, he's would say giving a pass is the whole point of being Christian. This is, again,
I would say
maybe,
I'd be like disturbed if you didn't have a little bit of shakiness after your wife and daughter
die within 2 weeks of each other.
Immediately together. Yes. One from a long illness and one from a tragic accident.
Yes.
Like, I think you should have some questions, personally.
And not to be too judgmental of this real-life person, but if anything happened to similar, even adjacent to a friend of mine, and that was their response, I would be gravely concerned about their holistic wellness.
Yeah, if they were like, God is good, though, I'd be like, oh.
Well, I'm blessed. I'd be like, you need to go to a doctor or what. I wouldn't know how to respond. I would be troubled on a deep level. But he maintains that. So, who am I to say?
Yeah.
But I just thought I thought that was interesting that they, in fact, had to shoehorn in religious conflict that did not exist. That on a promo tour, he's like, that was Hollywood.
That was Hollywood.
It's a Hollywood idea
to ever
waver from faith.
I would never do a magic trick. That was Hollywood.
Yeah.
Did you see in the credits there was a magic consultant for William Hurt?
Wow.
On the set. Yeah.
What a
life.
Fantastic. Yeah. I bet he doesn't even believe magic in real life anyway.
So magic was Hollywood too. I don't mess with the dark arts. That would not
Cause
be
the devil's
something
paper.
I do.
There is no barn where parties could happen.
The other thing that's not explicitly Christian about the movie, but feels maybe generally Christian, but maybe it intersects with general culture as well, is the idea of what death is supposed to be mm-hmm. and what it's supposed to mean. Because from one angle, you do see the idea of this person living a life and they were so joyous. And Caroline, this girl, was so alive and she was rambunctious and she would want to play and do well and all right. this stuff. But there is almost this sort of, I don't know exactly how to describe this, but this almost like morbidness about the utilitarian nature of death.
Yes.
And so, not necessarily flippancy, but sort of like, well, death is actually on some level good because of these other things that it right. brings us. So it's not like
an amazing motivator.
Yeah. And it's not like she died so we could freaking play volleyball and win. It's not that. That's not the one for one. But there's almost this sort of lack of reference in some ways or like deeper grief for the fact of, you know, and this really happened. So it's not like the invention yes. of delusional, you know, people of faith where it's like, well, then they win because they love her so much and her death was a motivator. It really was a motivator in these girls' young lives.
Yes.
And well, Caroline was involved in young life, by the way.
It feels very encouraging of avoidance in that, like, William Hurt's only outlet for his grief is chopping wood. And he's like, you should do this or find another way. I don't know, one or the other, but you should just avoid it. He's like, it's his only piece of advice for dealing with grief.
Yeah. I was kind of into the chopping wood. I was like, that does feel like a good way to deal.
Honestly, at the end of the day, you have a big pile of wood that you can burn.
Yeah.
Isn't that more useful than a volleyball trophy?
Yeah. You can actually burn something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do find there is a very American thing in the conflation of Christianity and sports, which I find so interesting.
Oh, sure.
Of like,
yeah.
God wants us to win. Which that doesn't feel like any other country in the world.
Yeah.
Is a narrative that happens.
Well, the only pushback I would have for that, just because it's the first thing that came to mind that we talked about, was Chariots of Fire. Oh. Which was the story.
Yes, of course. It's one of those I've actually never seen. It's just Roger Bannister, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
The 4-Minute Mile.
Yes.
The
graceful 4-Minute Mile.
I haven't seen it, but I did play percussion in orchestra and we did Chariots of Fire. And that's a really fun one for percussion because you get to play the cymbal. It's like... And then do the...
You get like to a shine. Big,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like a real good one for percussion.
That's so fun. Because, I mean, he wrote on synth and performed on that. And then translating that into live instruments
as an 11-year-old.
That rules. But, yeah. But yes, for the most part, this is American Underdog. I guess that's another movie we watch with the wonderful Zachary Levi.
I was thinking about that movie a lot. Mm-hmm. And Father Stew, all based on true stories.
Wow.
Where like...
Well, one of them is based on a Stew story. Sorry to correct you.
Please get out. Me. Leave your own house.
I will not. You can't make me.
Repaint your goddamn walls.
I will.
Oh, man. I don't want the Stew detectives to come after me.
Stew Detective Season 4 coming soon.
But just like the amount of tragedy that can happen to a person can be almost like comedic in movies like this that are based on their life. And I had this problem with Father Stew and with like American Underdog, where it's very hard to say this because you don't want to criticize or diminish what these real people went through.
No.
But I'm always left wondering, like, is this a movie? You know, like, is this a story?
Well, it's a celebration of somebody who's able to continue to suffer.
Yes.
And that's what the celebration is like, look at how good at suffering this person is. That's so Christian. Like, it's so good for them. It's very Job-like.
Right. Right. It is. It is. And I feel like it's some kind of thing of like, you just need to bear witness.
Yes.
To the amount of baggage like that this person can carry around.
It's that radical acceptance of your own misery.
Yeah. And then it's a weird story because like it's not done. You know, that grief has not left this man. You know, his family isn't back. They won a volleyball championship, which wasn't even his daughter wasn't even on the team to like win it. You know, it was symbolic, I understand. But But
then what does he do? Does he keep on going to the games after that last? Like, is he just like, there 5 years' time with his daughter's portrait?
The game is synonymous with your daughter because she was only 17 and that's all she had been able to really do with her time on Earth at this point. Like, I also was thinking how bummed I would be if I had died as a teenager and my legacy was like all about volleyball and like my catchphrase that people would reference. You know, like Caroline would always say, get it done, son. Like, how mortifying. She'd yell that she was so good on that bench.
It's like Kevin used to tweet out when he was 21. Let's have an epic win. That's awesome sauce.
Or and whatever. Like her jersey like being like bacon. At the funeral. I was just like, this is probably just one of many things she did, you know? And like to I don't know, tie it so much to her legacy does, to your point, feel very American.
Yeah.
Like somehow the team winning or coming together or even just being joyful is symbolic of her life.
Mm-hmm. Adults going to high school games is very weird to me.
Adults, the townies like, caring about high school games is always like, what? I don't understand that. But I think it is like a bit of a Midwest
thing. That's so colloquial too. Even like, I'm not from the Midwest, but just Texas culture.
Yeah.
Generally, it's so...
Like knowing about the high school football players the Friday night lights of it all is like and, very important.
Right, that like, hey man, that's a child.
Yes, and people without children on the team having emotional investment in it. It's tribal the way, you know, other things are tribal that we might experience. Yeah. Or like, you know, when Caroline started screaming and crying and throwing up when Emma Stone won the Golden Globe for Poor Things. And
exactly. It's like you would think, is that her sister? No, you know, but I care about just her. We're rooting for her.
Yeah, but it is hard to connect to. It feels
it's just kind of like
touch more absurd.
I understand there has to be an ending to this story, but the volleyball win is not an ending for me. And it is just like, how did Ernie deal with the endurance test he had to go through? And her best friend.
Where did Bert
enter the best picture? In like 3 weeks' time, now they've won this state championship that they've been using to exclude their feelings.
Yes.
And now they suddenly have to face the grief that they've been putting aside.
Right.
That's the movie, man.
And like, was that the meaning? Well, I will say I appreciated there's the moment when the coach is on the bus with them and they're on the way to the state game.
Helen Hunt.
Was she serving Hunt in this movie? Did she serve Hunt?
She absolutely Hunty in this movie. Down.
And she's like talking about, and she admits finally, she's like, I guess I thought if we won, that would make meaning of Caroline's death. It doesn't, obviously. It's so stupid that I thought that. So can you just play joyfully? And like, can we just enjoy the game? And that would actually honor her legacy so much better.
Yes.
I was like, this is good.
And Aaron Moriarty. But she goes one step further and she's like, bus driver, pull over.
And then we get a little bit of whimsy.
Roll around in the thickest snow I've ever seen.
Yeah, we get a Katy Perry snow angel moment.
Needle drops in this movie were expensive.
Very expensive.
There was Demi Lovato in there. Yeah, it was like,
Sweet Caroline is not cheap.
Yeah.
Sweet Caroline ends the multiple film times. Because that's what they sang at the volleyball games and they show the real life footage. What are you thinking about?
Like Helen Hunt had to be like, I will forego my salary because obviously we need Sweet Caroline at the end of the movie.
Good grief. It is just proof of like, you know, an Oscar can take you so far.
Yeah.
And I think they're both pretty good in the movie.
They're good in the movie.
I thought William Hurt was very good.
Yeah,
in the
very
movie
good.
As a grieving parent, very warm.
Saddest dad
I was seen. Very touched by his relationship with her best friend. Like, and how odd that must be of like, okay, I guess we talk now.
Yeah. But this, in like a child that you've known since she was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do have a relationship with her. I certainly have, like, when I go home, I'm closer to my best friend's parents, I feel like, than I am with my best friend at this, like my childhood best friend at this point.
Yeah. There is it's a strong relationship.
Yeah.
So Sean McNamara, I mean, he is an artist. He's an icon. He's a legend.
Yes, he is the moment. We've all heard of him.
Of course, he did direct Soul Surfer, which we will have to do on the show one day. Maybe when we have a surfer on of some sort. Are you a surfer, Siobhan?
Not in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Well, not yet. That's a maybe.
Not time.
I
have tried
be
it
thinking
once.
About
I
the
was
sport.
Bad at it. I was pretty bad at it.
Well, you can gotta try it a couple times.
I've never tried.
That's what Caroline would do. And be thinking about the sport that will be associated with you when
Hold
you
the
die.
Line.
Yeah, are you going to live like mine?
Wait, do you want a bikini up there? Do you want a, you know, pair of pajamas? Damn. I know what I want.
If I died in 2023, what would my sport be? And what would the line, what would the catchphrase, the tagline that would be forever associated be? And I know you'll be thinking about that.
I'll be thinking about that.
I just want to go down Sean's filmography because he directed Soul Surfer. He directed the Sweet Life movie, the Even Stevens movie, Robo Sapien, rebooted.
A classic.
Aliens Ate My Homework, The Miracle Season.
So a lot of kid stuff.
Aliens Stole My Body, Cats and Dogs 3, Paws Unite.
Oh, okay. That's a...
And then Caroline Moore in our wheelhouse, On a Wing and a Prayer, which is it's a survival film about a plane crash starring Dennis Quaid and Heather Graham.
Heather Graham?
Yeah. And Jesse Metcalf, who's also in this movie. And he is directing a yet another movie. I gotta flip it around and show you this.
No.
This movie that's in the works.
No.
It's a movie called Reagan, starring Dennis Quaid as the titular Ronald Reagan.
Oh my God, in that photo.
And
he looks a lot like Reagan.
Now, here's what's odd. The movie hasn't come out now. Of course, the script was based on two books, God and Reagan, A Spiritual Life, and The Crusader, Ronald Reagan and the Fall of Communism.
Oh my God.
Principal photography started on this movie in September 9th, 2020.
September 9th. That's early.
No, don't think about that.
No. I'm thinking about.
They were shooting in Oklahoma.
Inside.
Not for Cowboy Reagan.
It was announced in October 22nd, 2020. Filming had shut down after a bunch of crew members had obviously tested positive.
Yeah.
And then they resumed in November of 2020, November 5th, right around a special time in all of our lives. Okay.
Remember.
It is unreleased to this day, but we have this beautiful picture.
so it's in the can. Wow.
Maybe. Yeah.
What they're waiting for.
Wow, release the Reagan tapes.
Release the Reagan tapes, Sean. We need to see it. Oh, good grief. He's the godfather of Christy Carlson Romano, sort of a YouTube legend now. Have you seen her YouTubes at all?
No.
Of course, one half of Even Stevens.
She's cool.
She's doing a lot. And I mean, she's doing a lot on YouTube.
So McNamara was part of the Disney machine for a while.
He sure was. Oh. Yeah. Ant Farm director.
Yeah, it's like, keep your eyes on that man.
Man's hanging out a lot of children.
Yeah.
Personal section on Wikipedia. The flight logs. Okay, I'm not gonna read that. That is unfortunate.
As Alec Baldwin said, it doesn't mean anything if you're on the log. His email was out there.
Of course.
My wife is Spanish. Everybody stop asking me.
Anyone could just put anything on a flight log. Exactly.
It's the source. Man, anything else to say about this movie? Oh, I'm sorry. It did not take place. It did not shoot in Iowa. It's shot in Vancouver.
Nice.
They found the richest crop fields in Vancouver.
Yeah, Iowa. Iowa volleyball. I wonder if that's a big scene.
I bet it is. I mean, I just feel like sport in general
is a big one.
Is a big one.
The volleyball world, like the best volleyball high school age teams, they come out of the coastal areas, you know, Orange County, beach kids. Also, like
the equivalent of ice skating, like those kids whose parents just turn their backyards into a skating rink over the winter because they live in Minneapolis and
exactly
you can just hose down your yard.
Like the weather
kids can
does
practice. It's not
play
like,
a part.
You want to be an ice skater in California, you got to live next to an ice skating rink.
You got to work for it.
You got to really work.
It's not a given.
I think we're ready to write this thing.
Yeah.
I think we've said everything there is to say about this hour, 40-minute movie that we all watched and we all rented.
It was free on Amazon.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wait, did you have to watch commercials?
No. I mean, it said I would have to, but I didn't. They didn't play any commercials.
Wait a minute. I got bamboozled.
I did too.
Wow.
I did the same thing where I was like, well, I don't have time for commercials.
Movie. Well, I'll still Venmo you $4 because, you know.
For your time.
Yeah. You.
Hey, man, I'm good for it. I got $4. I swear to God.
Your hourly rate.
I'm a person of my word. And when Kevin died, he said, I'll Venmo you $4. So we made t-shirts saying, I'll Venmo
you. Like Kevin.
The way this works, we give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, or side thumb. Thumbs up is a holy toast. We send it all the way to heaven where the angels say, yeah, 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 yeah. Bring it back. Holy roast is the thumbs down. We send it to hell where it roasts. And the devil says,
no, no, no.
Or a space between, which is just
the space purgatory.
Great.
Caroline?
Do keep in mind with your ratings, you are rating a real life 17-year-old girl died tragically.
Oh, no, no.
And whether not, her story is valid or not.
No, she's in heaven. That's done. No, we're not rating her soul.
We're still, God's still sussing that out. And he will take your vote into
account. I can change my mind depending on how old Mez Dog, what's her name? Brez Dog shows up in the interview. Well, actually, he always loved God.
Great set of Briz. I'm going to give it a space between. I feel like maybe because I was expecting it to be worse than it was. Very sweet, you know, some good acting, a lot of forward motion with the story. But I am often left with sport movies and you know, death tragic true story movies alike, left with this feeling of like, is this a story? I don't know. Obviously, it's very important for these people. For me, it's not.
Yeah, I agree with absolutely 100% of everything that you just said. A perfect review of this movie. I don't need to have watched it, but it was not as terrible as I thought it was going to be. And there were some really nice moments.
Yes.
I hope you feel that way about your time with us tonight on this podcast.
I'll give you a 5 out of 10.
Wow,
thank you.
All right, thank you. Hovering right there.
Not a 1 out of 10. Hovering right there.
Right there with the unbaptized so Barry.
Good grief. I don't know where I am in my life, but I did cry twice at this movie.
Oh my God. Oh no. You're having a day.
Or hurt.
Hunt was really hunting. Oh, she really did.
Real quick, hurt or hunt?
Oh. Gonna be hurt for me. Oh, I don't know. Depends on the day. They're both great.
Yeah, she was serving Hunt and he was hurting. I mean, no, of course, I cried at like her talking to her mother. I thought, you know, the kid actors were pretty good too.
Yeah.
That stuff was very tender. Yes. And then the second time I cried is when they introduced those two tall girls as the Twin Towers.
You monster.
And I remembered because we're supposed to remember and never forget.
Yeah, brought back some painful
memories.
You had the blanket
that your mom made for you just to remind you.
You gotta give it a stroke. The dry
parts. Well, apparently
parts
I gotta
it.
Give it to Goodwill, according to you.
I wouldn't insult Goodwill.
That is my mother.
Wow. I think they want things that aren't like that. Okay.
I know. I put it in the dryer and I think I screwed it up for life. Do you think my mom would get mad at me if I threw it away? Do you think she knows that I have it now?
Yeah. It's impossible to tell with those kinds of gifts of like, if I take this to Goodwill, will it magically appear at my mom's Goodwill and she'll know?
It could.
It feels possible that a mother could find that out.
With God, anything can happen.
That's true.
I get in my car after dropping it off in the bin to a text from my mom like, hey, just wanted to check in.
On that blanket
you feeling
I gave you
warm
10 years ago.
Lately? God. But I have a backup blanket that's in better shape, I think, and heavier. So
there you go.
Maybe I'll do that. Space between for me. But I was hurting and hunting all the way through.
Yeah. Those actors were too good for that movie.
What gets you to cry at a movie these days, Siobhan?
The violins always. Just like
violin.
Honestly, I am very easily manipulated by a violin. If the score has a big violin section, I'm crying. I'm jumping. I'm running out of the room.
Wow. She's doing cartwheels, throwing up.
Yeah, anything the violin tells me to do, I'll do it.
Yeah, wise.
Wow.
If it's a musical, going to see a musical, I will often cry. Especially, I mean, it's not a movie, but like going to the theater and seeing a musical, cry every time.
Oh, sure. I mean, Maestro might get you a little weepy.
It might
then.
Do.
Oh, yeah.
I'll cry in a movie. I'm not afraid.
I cried at Maestro.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it.
I cry all the time. I'm a crier.
I'm not reining it in. I'm reining it in, Jerry.
Kevin.
I suddenly cried in Star is Born.
Of course.
You got it. Why else are you watching that movie?
I want to have
a nice cry.
I would have
questions. Am I
going
to feel my feelings in real life? No, I want a movie to tell me what to feel.
Yeah. I'm going to feel him for Jackson. furry old dad voice. Wait, so that's probably... No, that's what Springsteen and Cooper talked about the Oscars.
Oh, I bet. Pissing on stage.
Stealing voices.
No, he's never pissed on stage. I said that too defensively.
He kissed on stage.
Yeah, he sure did. No, but he read his biography. Cooper read Springsteen's biography, which is very, I thought was very well written. And he talked about how in his songwriting, he would adopt his father's voice, who was like, he was a mentally ill man with schizophrenia who worked all these jobs, bus driver, factory worker, all the things, working man stuff. Uh-huh. And so Cooper was like, oh, he took his dad's voice. So I'm going to have a character that literally takes someone else's That's literal.
That was from Bruce's book?
Yeah. Wow. He said that in interviews. Like in the New York Times.
He just took it a little bit too literally.
He took it too literally because he just takes Sam Elliott's voice.
Yeah. Like, that's not the same thing.
Like,
he's not like using his dad's voice like what he sounded like.
Yes.
He's talking about his
literary voice.
Yes.
Yeah,
the
literary.
He would talk about.
Like the perspective
his
of
persona.
The thing. Yeah, he was talking about.
Bradley Cooper has never heard of a synonym in his life.
And that's what makes him the maestro. Siobhan, another podcast you've been on, you might promote yourself or plug your projects, but we're not here to do that. This is a holy, sacred space.
I don't need to. I'm really successful.
You're...
Okay, well, let's skip it then.
Right, then we'll just skip. We'll,
go ahead and
we close
won't
go
out.
To Siobhan.
Okay.
No, what we do on this show, we lift those things up to right. the Lord in all love and tenderness and holiness, including something that you're enjoying from the secular world. Oh. The last great thing you listened to, saw, read, watched, etc. We'll start with Caroline.
Oh my gosh. I'm stressing out because I don't have my lift up prepared like I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
But, give me a second.
Oh, I'll give you a lesson.
Listen, you can lift me up at Caroline's Farts, and that's always going to be true. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to lift up, you know what? Let's lift up Troy Sivan.
Well, this is a good connection.
Been out.
It's the women of Troy in this movie.
Oh, that, oh, I forgot about it being
here
women
we go.
Troy. Fully out of context of what that means.
How do you mean?
It's, it's fine. But the women of Troy are tragic. It's fine. It's okay.
That's step seven of feminism.
So you just have to read the
Trojans
Iliad.
Win.
It's step seven.
Troy Sivan, let's lift that.
Yeah, one of your girls. I've been listening to that a lot lately. So you know, you know. Now you know.
Troy Sivan, good in Boy Erased.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
like anything else in that movie.
Troy Sivan, gorgeous house. Look at that Architectural Digest.
Okay, I do love an Architectural Digest.
Oh my gosh. I feel like if that's the way, if I had a lot of money, mm-hmm. I'd do what he did with his house.
If.
When. Thank you, Kevin, for reminding me to manifest.
That's right. And for, you know, it's patreon.com/goodchristianfund. Caroline does need to provide
I think we will need her
impending family.
20,000 new subscribers if you guys could really step up to the plate. Huge for us.
Just for 1 month and then cancel.
Then that's it. Yeah. I just need that reno budget. Thank
that's
you.
Right.
Thank you, everyone.
Hey, as I found out tonight, I need that reno budget.
Paint's a little bit. $60 a gallon.
$70 a gallon.
That's expensive.
We'll turn to Siobhan.
I just read a book called The Shamshine Blind.
Who's that?
By Paz something or other. I can't remember her last name. But it's a really fun neo-noir set in like a alternate history, sort of science fiction-y small California town.
Mm.
Really enjoyed it. It's a fun mystery.
Mm.
The science fiction is fun. It's fun. It's just a fun book. It's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I love a good sci-fi. Check that out.
This ambient music is making me talk really soft.
Is that nice?
It's really nice.
A little relaxing.
Yeah. Yeah,
we all have therapy.
Went into
therapist voice.
Yes, masseuse voice.
And where do you feel that in your body?
Everywhere. I'm in so much pain all the time.
Sounds like Brez and Ernie.
Rooting for them.
You chopping that wood over there?
You chop your wood.
Okay. You left me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I would lift up. Oh, you know what movie I saw? I saw Dark Waters. Have you guys seen this movie?
No.
Mark Ruffalo Annie Hathaway. She prefers Annie. Annie Hathaway. Victor Garber. It's a They Knew movie where it's like this goes all the way to the top, and it's about the chemical that they use in the pots and pans that's making all of us sick for the rest of our lives.
PFAs.
Yes, the PFOA, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful movie.
So you're saying I should buy new pans?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to lift up a...
They're so expensive.
A stainless steel cookware.
Yeah, the nonstick is going to kill you, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not getting that anymore.
But I don't really work with that.
I'm going to die anyway.
Is that the philosophy?
I'm going to die doing dishes if I have to scrub those pans.
That's what I'm feeling.
Not the way I want to go.
I tried to use a stainless steel pan.
You got to get it right.
So hard.
Every TikTok is like, you just got to get the temperature
they
right.
They are. Look at this little oil bouncing. And I'm like, I know. You've got a crust. You're going to have to scrape.
Don't watch this movie.
End.
I don't want everyone to be deterred. Everyone make their own choices and decisions and do whatever you want. You can lift us up at Christian
Choice
Fun Pod.
Pivotism.
That's what my t-shirt would say. Lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere at patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. Support us. Support all of us.
Ain't it cheap.
And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we love. And we donate it all to charity. Siobhan, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For joining us
and watching this film.
On the show.
Love and light.
Tonight.
Love and light.
Love and light. And there's nothing left to say except for, okay,
I love you, Emma. Amen.
Now watch this drive. Whoops.
What was that?
That was the folk song.
Yay!
Now, to be a pilgrim.
And we could go out on this, or we could go out on the best song from the movie.
Oh, yes.
Helen Hunt making snow angels. All I was thinking about during this scene, all the girls get out of the bus.
Yes.
It's like they're all getting wet butts.
You can have massive wet butt the whole way
around.
They
look so warm.
That was a warm day that they shot that, and there was no acting put into
that dusty snow.
Like, hey, just remember, it's cold.
All right, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now I'm floating like a butterfly, stinging like a bee. I earned my stripes. I went from zero to my own hero. You held me down, but I got... That was a HeadGum Podcast.